Last night, NBC's The West Wing presented a special episode written and produced with unusual speed in reaction to last month's terrorist attacks. TV critic David Bianculli has this review.
There's something happening here, but what it is ain't exactly clear.
Last night's episode of The West Wing ended with that classic 60s protest song by Buffalo Springfield. It was an appropriate choice, and not only because of the confusion, anger, and warning in the lyrics. Stephen Stills wrote that song and recorded it with his band only a few weeks after clashes between youngsters and the Los Angeles Police Department erupted into riots in 1966. It was a case of an artist feeling so deeply about what was happening around him that he wanted, maybe needed, to react instantly in the language and medium he knew best. Not too long afterward, another group in which he was a member, Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young, did the same thing. Within 3 weeks of the Kent State shootings in 1970, where 4 students were shot and killed by the National Guard, that influential rock group had written and recorded an angry song called Ohio. Aaron Sorkin, writer-producer of The West Wing, had the clout and platform at NBC to move with similar speed. He wanted to talk about terrorism, its roots, and its impact, and came up with a method to do it. But he's a scriptwriter, not a songwriter. Instead of writing lyrics for a 3-minute song, Sorkin wrote a script for a 1-hour drama series and had his characters explain all the things Sorkin wanted to say. A lengthy preface delivered by the series actors as themselves rather than in character explained the special show's premise. It was a standalone episode, not part of the regular West Wing storyline or timeline. It imagined a time, in our near-distant future, when security lockdowns of the White House occurred on an almost weekly basis. Last night's show began with one such security breach, triggered just as Bradley Whitford as Josh is about to reluctantly address a group of bright young visiting high school students. The lockdown confines Josh and the students in the same room. Slowly, over the course of the hour, all the other West Wing characters, including Martin Sheen as the president, wander in to calm the students and take questions on terrorism. All the characters, that is, but John Spencer's Leo, who is conducting an impromptu and fairly hostile interrogation of a White House staffer who is of Middle Eastern descent. A recently arrested terrorist had named several colleagues, one of whom went by many aliases. One of those names was the same as that of the White House staffer, so Leo feared there was a mole, and perhaps a potential assassin, deep within the White House. Logistically, this very focused pair of plots allowed Sorkin to confine his action almost completely to 2 sets and to make the points he most wanted to make. With the interrogation scenes, where the worker turned out to be accused unjustly, there was the smell of a witch hunt and a warning about prejudice. And with the student scenes, Sorkin was able to import a classroom into the West Wing so that all the other staffers could take turns lecturing. But that was the problem with last night's show. It was, at bottom, close to an hour-long lecture. Ordinarily, I'd say that's great. There are millions of people, especially young people, for whom a dramatic summary of the issues of terrorism would be a service as well as an hour of thought-provoking entertainment. But anyone who watches The West Wing regularly is politically aware anyway. And if a young person doesn't care much about The West Wing, a special episode devoted to terrorism isn't likely to be a big draw. So the show last night, in a very literal sense, was preaching to the converted. And some of the preaching was very familiar, especially the parts, echoing a well-circulated letter on the internet, in which Afghanistan was compared to Poland, and the Taliban to the Nazis, and Islamic extremists to the Ku Klux Klan. Sorkin, in the past, has admitted to using things he read on the internet, and that certainly looks like it happened again here. That doesn't mean the show didn't have resonance. At the end, when Josh entertained one final question from a student, he answered with a response that was more emotional than political.
Can I ask one more question?
Yeah.
Do you favor the death penalty?
No.
But you think we should kill these people?
You don't have the choices in a war that you do in a jury room. But I wish you didn't have to. I think death is too simple.
What would you do instead?
I'd put them in a small cell and make them watch home movies of the birthdays and baptisms and weddings of every single person they killed over and over every day for the rest of their lives. And then they'd get punched in the mouth every night at bedtime. By a different person every night. There'd be a long list of volunteers, but it's all right. We'll wait. But listen, don't worry about all this right now. We got you covered. Worry about school. Worry about what you're going to tell your parents when you break curfew. You're going to meet guys. You're going to meet girls. Not so much you, friend. Learn things. Be good to each other. Read the newspapers. Go to the movies. Go to a party. Read a book. In the meantime, remember pluralism. You want to get these people? I mean, you really want to reach in and kill them where they live? Keep accepting more than one idea. Makes them absolutely crazy.
The important thing in this case, I think, isn't that last night's episode was one of the finest dramatic hours of The West Wing. It wasn't. The important thing is that Sorkin tried and had a place to do it. Think for a minute about how few places in primetime there are that could make room for such an attempt. Think of how few shows have any real relevance, and think of how few shows, week in and week out, say anything provocative or meaningful. So thank The West Wing for trying and for being there at all.
David Bianculli is TV critic for the New York Daily News.